Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Psachim Nun Gimel. We are seven lines from the top of the Amid. It says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Brayse, going back to beer, which allows a person to eat the shvis, peiros, yirokos, as long as there's some crop available out there for the animals. Says the Brayse, Tanu Rabbanan, Oichlen Banavim, until what point can you eat grapes on shvis? Until there's nothing remaining out there. Ashi yichlu dolyo yishal oichel. Ashi has a gersa shal avel. So one may eat until the supply of grapes have been completely depleted. There are no more dolyos. These are the vines which are draped over poles. In the town of Oichel, apparently that was the place which had vines and grapes available, the latest in that whole district, so you can eat until there's no more in that area. If you happen to know that there are some areas that have grapes even after the supply in this place has been depleted, so you can go ahead and eat on account of the later supply. What about olives? You can eat until the last remaining olives get depleted from Tekoya, which was a place, as Rashi describes, which had an abundance of olives, and there was Shemen Zayis, plentiful over there, and on account of that, there were Chachamim there. Gemara says the person is Ruggle b'Shemen Zayis. He has Chachma. So as long as there was some Zayisim available in Tekoya, one can continue eating Zayisim, relying on that. Ablaza Omer, he has a different town, Ashiyich la'achon shel gush cholav, the last ones in Gush Cholav have been depleted. So what's the latest you can eat? Until there's nothing left. But if there's just a bit left, not enough, that's also not considered. Kedei sheyehei ani yoytze, needs to be enough. The ani can go out and collect a reasonable amount. But if not, if he goes out and only finds a little bit, kedei sheyehei ani yoytze ve'eini moytze, he doesn't find much. He doesn't find loy benoifa v'loy b'yikorei, whether in the branches of the tree, or down on the bottom, around the trunk, he can't come up with roiva, a quarter of a kav of these olives. That's considered to be a depleted crop. Oichlim begregrois, until what point can he have the dried figs? Ashiichlu page beisini, until the pagim, these were the low grade, low quality figs that wouldn't really ripen and mature and develop fully. So until the page beisini were depleted, you can still have your figs, even though they're an inferior quality type of grape, a type of fig, that's still considered a fig, and you can eat relying on that. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo yuzkuru page beisini. The concept of page beisini was not mentioned in this context. You cannot go ahead and rely on these low quality figs for your shvi'is consumption. It's considered like a different type, a different variety. So the only reason why it would be mentioned was only Elul Inyam Maser. When we mentioned, when the Braisa or the Mishnah mentioned this variety, was only with regard to Maser, that it's Chayver Maser. The Snan, Page Besini, Vahini Tuvina. Hayini Tuvina are these low-grade dates. We had yesterday the Zohar palm tree, which wouldn't produce proper, mature dates. So these low-quality fruits, these page beisini and the dates from Tovina, chayavim b'maser, despite the fact that they're inferior quality, they are still chayavim b'maser. That's why we mention these things, but not with relation to shvi'is. You can't go ahead and rely on these low-grade products in order to consume your ordinary, high-quality figs. They're considered different variety, different min. And you can't eat relying on the supply of page beisini. Continues the Brayse. What about dates? Oichlem b'tmarim, ach yichle ha'achin shebetzoyer. The last remaining dates in Tzoyer, which was Yerichai, which also featured an abundance of dates, of palm trees. The last ones in Tzoyer run out, you can eat throughout the Eretz of Yehuda. So by the way, as Mepharshim point out, we know that Eretz Yisrael has three Aratzes. Yehuda, Eivar, Yarden, and Gol, three separate provinces. and we learned yesterday that you can eat until the supplies completely run out in your specific aretz. So anyway, within your aretz, if there's still some available, you can rely on that. So apparently these towns mentioned in the Braisa, whether it's Eichel, Avel, Gush Cholov, the point is that that specific aretz, that particular section of Eretz Yisrael, whether it's Yehuda, Eivar, Yarden, or Golo, who had these towns in them, so you can eat throughout that aretz, relying on this town. Whichever aretz had this town, can rely on that town as the latest for eating this type of particular variety. So getting back to the dates, so you can rely on Yerichai, Shimon Lil Eimer, Eichlan Al Shabin Akipin. We had this yesterday. Rashi explained the wind would shear off some of the dates, some would end up on the branches, some on the bottom inside the thorn surrounding the palm tree. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, Oichlan al shabein akipin. You can only continue eating dates on account of the ones found between the branches up on top, which are still accessible to the chayes. Vein oichlan al shabein hashitzen, but you can't eat on account of the ones found underneath, inside the thorns, which aren't accessible. So this is the Braisa, giving us a list of towns, of locations, where you can find the last remnants of this particular, each particular min. Braisa, which sets a very firm timetable. It's time-related, not town-related. Adar Pesach. You can have grapes until Pesach. Bazesim adar Tzeres. Olives until Shavuos. Now we're speaking the eighth year now. Anything that began to grow during the seventh year, all these fruits have Kedusha Shvi'is, and they last generally somewhere in the middle of the eighth, until somewhere in the middle of the eighth year. So grapes are considered to be still around and present until Pesach, Bezesim, when it comes to olives, until Adar Tzeres, until Shavuos, Begroi Grace, Adar Chanukah, dried figs until Chanukah, Betmarim, Adar Purim, dates until Purim. So we have a very firm timetable. It's not town and location related. Omar Rav Bivi, he said that Rabbi Yochanan Tati Basraisa Machlif. He actually switched around the last two items in this list, which were Gregors and Tmarim. So instead of Gregors till Chanukah, he would have Gregors till Purim, and Tmarim instead of till Purim, he had till Chanukah. But in any case, we see that we have a very specific and exact deadline regarding the Shear, the time of beer. How does this work with the previous brisa, which gave us locations to work with? Says the Gemara, actually it's the same thing. Idi v'idi chad shihru. Both things, towns and times, are the same thing. Second brisa, as the Mefarshim explain, is working with a timetable that the Chachamim established. Times, firm times, which generally correspond to the availability in those towns mentioned in the earlier Braisa. And they just established it as a firm time. This way, you don't need to go ahead and check. And this way, it's universal. They set a time. Don't go past that to avoid confusion. Everybody's saying, another pshat, haktani behedi. Because the earlier Braisa clearly said, although it provided a list of towns, but then it said, im yesh mocharis mehen, oichan aleihem. If you happen to know that there are other places where this fruit is available past those towns, then certainly you can rely on them. And that's the point of the second brisa. Second brisa is telling us that at most you can only rely on grapes until Pesach, olives until Atzeres, as the Chazon Ish explains, because past that, even if you know there's some produce out in the field, but it's been out there too long, it's overripe, it's spoiled, and it's not something you can rely on, it's not considered produce and crop available for the animals. So Braisa 2 is simply explaining, elaborating on that aspect. Initially you follow the towns and the crop contained therein, as mentioned in the first Braisa. But let's say you happen to know that there are some fruit sitting out there past that time, pretty late in the season. What's the latest you can go? That's the second Braisa. You can only go up until these specified times. Past that, the fruit out there is spoiled and is not considered an available crop for the animals. Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Siman Laharim Milim. What's a siman for our mountains? What's considered a hallmark of Harim, milim, golnut trees are generally found up in the mountains. Simula mokim, the kolim. What is the hallmark of valleys? Date trees. Simula necholim, konim, what's a simon for streams, ravines? Konim, reeds, generally are found in those areas. Simula shvelo shikma, a simon for the plain, the plains, the flat surface, is shikma, the sycamore trees. So we'll explain what's the purpose of this formula. Even though we don't have absolute raya to relate shvela with shikma, zech lo dava, we have an indication from the pasuk shenemar v'itan hamelech eskal hakesef yishalayim kavonim. He gave away, he regarded the money in Yishalayim like stones, worthless as arozim, and the cedars nasan kashikmim asher b'shvela roy. He regarded the sycamore trees, which are found in abundance in the shvela. So we see that a shikma tree is generally found in the shvela. So what benefit do we have from this formula? Explains the Gemara. Simen laharim milim. That was the first item. The simen for mountains are the golnut trees. Simen la'amokim t'kolim. Simen for the amokim, the valleys, are date trees. Nafka mina l'bikurim. We have an application concerning bikurim. This nan. Ein mevim bikurim el meshivas haminim. We only bring bikurim from the seven minim, Rashi explains, because it says by bikurim ashtavi mi artzacha, and the pasuk elsewhere says eretz chita soira, giving us a list of the seven minim asher nishtabchu bem Eretz Yisrael, which highlight the praise and quality of Eretz Yisrael. So we learn from there that bikurim, which is mi artzacha, is meant to denote, to highlight, to bring out, express the shvach of Eretz Yisrael, and is only meant to involve the shivas haminim. We also learn that even within the shivas haminim, this is high quality produce. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Ein mevim bikurim el meshivas haminim. That's number one. And number two, it needs to be high quality. Therefore, v'loim midkolam shebaharim. Even when you bring dates, it shouldn't be from the dates up in the mountains, which are low quality. They're meant to be found in the valleys. V'loim miperish shebamakim, nor from grains which are found out in the valleys. Rashi explains due to the moisture there, the grain doesn't develop properly. So that was the point of Rav Shimon Gamliel. In the mountains, you're not meant to find date trees. You find walnut trees. Because palm trees up in the mountains are not high quality and not meant to be used for bikur. In the amokim, in the valleys, you find the kolim. And indeed, you do bring bikurim from dates found in the valleys. So that's the point of the first two elements, the harim and the amokim. What about number 3 and 4? Simen l'necholim konim. We find konim growing in the necholim, the streams and ravines. Nafka minel nachal esen. That's important for the halach of nachal esen, which is where they would do the egla rufa. Torah says you do it in a nachal esen. Well, now let's say you're not sure if it's a nachal. Is this really a ravine? Is it not? You take a look and you see the reeds growing. Then you know it's a proper ravine. The fourth item was simon l'shvelo shikma. Simon for the plain. Is a shikma tree. Manafkamina, what is the application here? Lamakichamemka, for transactions. So you committed to selling him a shvela. A shvela generally should feature a shikma tree. So if it doesn't, he can back off on the deal. Hashad asas lahachi, not yet, you come to this point that there is a commercial application here. Kulunami lamakichamemka, if that's the case, all four items on this list can have enough kamina for mekech hamemker. Suppose he's selling him a mountain. He needs to have milin. Selling him a emek has to have the kolim, a nachal konim, and a shvela shikma. The Miri points out, apparently we're speaking about an area where these things would naturally grow in these locations. So when he specifies, I want a mountain, that indicates I want it the way it's supposed to be, together with milin. Otherwise, he can break the deal. Continues the Mishnah. Mokim shenogu limka behim adak. L'nochra. The Mishnah will resume the discussion regarding minhagim, as we began the perek with mokim shenogu, to do a malach and erev Pesach. You want to follow minhag mokim. The Mishnah will give us another two examples of minhag mokim. Mokim shenogu limka behim adak. L'nochrim moichin. A place where they had a minhag to go ahead and sell the behemadaka, the line animals. Animals which are not intended for labor, goats, sheep. they would have a minhag to sell them, not to refrain from selling it to the goyim. Fine, if that's the minhag, you follow the local minhag, moichrin, and you may sell as well. Makom shenagu, sheloy nagu limkar. However, in a place where they had a minhag not to sell even the behema daka, which had no capacity for avoida, for malacha, ein moichrin, you're also meant to refrain from selling. Ubechol makom ein moichrin lehem behema gasa. Now, on all occasions, one may not sell them a behema gasa, a large, heavy animal, an ox, a donkey, which can go ahead and perform labor. Why is that? Explains Rashi, based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. There are three concerns with selling a behema gasa to a nachri. The Gemara says, Mishma she'ela, sechirus, and nisuni. We know that an animal that belongs to Yisrael may not do Malach on Shabbos. The concern is, and he might go ahead and loan his animal to the goy, or rent his animal to the goy, Sheila and Schiris. And then the animal, which still belongs to the Yisrael, if it performs Malach on Shabbos, the Yisrael, the owner, is doing an Isser. If a Chacham forbade even selling to a goy, for it might lead him to loan and to rent. Nisuni means, if he happens to sell it to him on Erev Shabbos, close to Shabbos, and suppose the animal is not up to doing work, and he hears the voice of the Yisrael there, he might go ahead and comply and do the malacha on Shabbos as a result of listening to his, hearing his owner's voice. Now, although the animal belongs to the guy, but when Yisrael performs malacha with an animal, even if it's not his, that's a malacha mechamer. So on account of these concerns, Chacham said, don't sell an animal that has capacity to do malacha, a behema gasa, an ox, a donkey, etc. Don't even sell it to a guy. So that's the halacha. Now the minhag extended that issa further. In some places, they refrained from even selling a behema daka, goat, a sheep, which won't do malacha. The reason was because on account of the behema gasa, it might lead to selling a behema gasa as well. So they extended the issa further. Some places had a minhag, he meant to comply, and some places did not have that minhag, and they would sell behema daka to a goy. So either way, you can follow minhag hamakom. However, says the Mishnah, in all areas of b'chol makom ein meichron lehem behema gasa. You're not meant to sell behema gasa to a goy. A golem siyachin. Now here's the chiddush. Even if it's a calf, a golem, calves, siyachin, young donkeys, shleimen, whether animals are healthy, whole, shvurin, or even injured, and can't really do malacha. So this issa was all-encompassing, whether it's mature, young, healthy, injured, in order to create a wall-to-wall issa without any discrepancies and room for confusion. Rabbi Yehuda Mata b'shvura. He says a shvura, incapacitated animal, an injured animal, which won't do malacha in any case, and Rashi points out, he's going to take it and shecht it, it's not going to be around, to create any marasa ayin, nobody will see it, it won't create confusion. There's no concern with selling that to the goy. But Meseira Mata Bersus, he says that the horse can be sold because, according to Meseira, since a horse is meant to accommodate a rider, which according to him is not a malacha, because Chayinoy says Atzmai, a person slightly lifts himself when being carried. That's not considered to be an ordinary load, and if a person should carry that, or in this case the animal, going to carry a person, he's not really doing a full malacha. With the rice, it's not a malacha. Therefore, he says, you can sell a horse because what's the worst thing that can happen? We're afraid that he might loan a horse, might rent a horse, and even when he carries the rider, he's not doing a malacha. So the first part of the Mishnah dealt with selling animals to a goy. Continues the Mishnah with another variation of a minhag. Makom shenagu lechal tzli b'leil p'sachim oichlem. If in this makom that had a minhag to eat roasted meat, Pesach at night, go ahead, follow the minhag. Makom shenogu sheloy lechol ein oichlem. However, in a place where they had a minhag to refrain from eating basa tzoli on leil Pesach, for concern that it might appear like you're eating a carbon Pesach out of Yerushalayim, this way they created this minhag, don't eat basa tzoli. So if that's the case, ein oichlem, you want to follow the local minhag. Continues the Gemara. Amar Avidam Rav. Asloi le'odam sheyoymar bas hazeh le'pesachu. A person is not allowed to say, look, this piece of meat, even if it's already shachet, this is le'pesachu. What's wrong with saying that? Ibn Shanira kim magdish behemtoy. It appears like he's being magdish his behemah. Voichel koshim mechutz. And then he's eating it outside Yerushalayim. Rashi Lora's concern is that a person might misconstrue his words, think that he's trying to be magdish the value of this basar. He's going to use its value to purchase a carbon. Tosfos asks on that. Why does the Gemara say it looks like he's going to eat the kachem mechutz? If it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, the basa was hugdash l'dama for its value, then it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It's me'ila. A person benefits from it. He's diverting the assets of hegdash, his own personal use. That's me'ila. Therefore, Tosfos learns that the concern is, if a person should say basa zila pesachu, even on something which is just a piece of meat, perhaps a person might think that what he means to say is that I have already been magdish this behemoth when it was still alive. I was magdish it for a carbon. So he's simply indicating that he was already magdish it when it was mechayim. And now he's eating a carbon outside Yerushalayim. So that's a pshat according to Tosfos. Amar Papa, davke basa. This applies strictly to meat. Ava chiti loy. But a person could say, these chitim are lepesach. Why? The mental lepesach kamar. He's simply saying, look, these chitim should be safeguarded. Take care of it. Keep it from becoming chametz. I'd like to have it for Pesach. So there's no room for any misinterpretations. Says him a basa loy, basa you can't. That's a problem. There's a concern about confusion. Meisve of a brisa which says like this. Amar Yosi, toidos ish roimi. Toidus, who was a great man in the town of Roimi, Hinegas bnei Roimi, he led the people of Rome, lechol gdim mekulosim b'lei lepsachim. He allowed them to eat goats which were mekulos. Mekulos means a person who has his weapons nearby. So they would roast their goats for the Leil Pesach in a manner which resembled the roasting of the Karban Pesach. You have the whole body, and alongside it, its legs and its inside, so its entire entity. It looks like a person with his weapons nearby. That's why it was called dimekulas. So this form of roasting resembled very closely the Karban Pesach, and he allowed them to do it. Shocholei, the Chacham sent a message to Toidus, El Moli Toidusata, not the fact that you're such a great man. We would have applied a nidu cherem to you. What are you doing? Shata machlas Yisrael kachim machutz. You're feeding Yisrael kachim out of Beis HaMikdash. Kachim sakataitach. Do you really think he was giving them kachim? Why would this be kachim? Ela ema. Rather, this was the message. If not for the fact that you're a great man, we would have punished you because karev lahachl as Yisrael kachim machutz. What you're doing is very similar to feeding kachim outside of Yerushalayim. Rashi says it's doim al kachim. It's so closely related to a carbon. You're not meant to do this. So that's the brisa. What do we learn from there? That there's only a concern of confusion when it's mekulas, when it looks like carbon pesach. It's lined up, its body, its legs. Mekulas in, yeah, then there's a concern of confusion. She'en mekulas lay, but otherwise no concern. And how is this compatible with what we just said before? Even just a plain piece of meat can be confused with the carbon. Says the Gemara, Amri, the answer is like this, the big difference. Mekulas, if it's in this manner, then loishna amar, loishna loyamar. Doesn't matter what he said, when he made any reference about carbon, or loishna loyamar, or he hadn't made any reference at all, that this had anything to do with carbon. They're still concerned because of its arrangement, because of the way it looks. It resembles the carbon. She'ena mekulas. However, if it's not mekulas, just a plain piece of meat in front of you, which doesn't essentially resemble anything, then it's only if you say pireshin. If you expressed it, fine, it's a problem. Loy pireshle, but otherwise no concern. So yeah, if it looks like a carbon pesach, it's a dimekulas. Then regardless of whether you verbalize anything, it looks like a carbon pesach b'chutz, or just a plain piece of meat. Then don't say anything, why would I arouse concern? But if you do say something, it could go ahead and lead to confusion. Continues the Gemara. Rav Acha masni lo loho masnisa. Rav Acha had a version a little different than ours. This braisa, which presented the incident with Toidus Yishroimi, we have it as Rabbi Yossi presenting it. According to his version, it was Rabbi Shimon. Mask of Rav Sheshes. How can you say that? Bishlemi lamanda tonilo k'Rabbi Yossi. It works well according to the version that it was Rabbi Yossi. Nicha, that makes sense. Why? We'll see soon. Ella lamanda masnik Rabbi Shimon minich. However, the one who presented it in the name of Shimon, how does that work? Why would it be a concern? If you happen to see a gdimi kulas on the night of Pesach, why would you think that it's a carbon? It can't be a carbon. Why? That's none. We learned in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Poiter. Shleis nadev kederecha misnadvim. Rashi explains as follows. A person should say, I'm bringing a mincha. Harei la mincha. But then he adds some words which don't really make sense. Min hasoirim. I bring it from barley. One cannot bring a mincha from barley. Says Rav Shimon, we take everything that he said seriously, and it doesn't work. So Rav Shimon is poiter. Shleis nadev kederecha misnadvim. This type of expression, this type of donation, is not your typical donation. It doesn't work. So why would it be a concern if somebody happens to observe a gdi mekulas on the night of Pesach? What could it be choshesh that he was magdashit? The fact that it resembles a carbon Pesach indicates that he was magdashit when it was still alive. But since he wanted to use it outside Yerushalayim, so his hegdash went along with that stipulation. I'm doing Hegdash, but to take it outside Yerushalayim, that's not a Hegdash. And there wouldn't be any concern. This is not a carbon. So according to Rav Shimon, it would never have been a concern to begin with. That anybody should think this is a carbon Pesach. It's outside Yerushalayim. This wouldn't be a carbon regardless. Amalei Ravina Lavashi. Uman demasin lo k'Rav Yossi minicha. And to present this story in the name of Rav Yossi, is any better? V'amar Rava. Didn't Rava say, Rav Shimon b'shitas Rav Yossi amra. What Rav Shimon says, in this classic case of Arela mincha min asoirim, it doesn't work, he's potter, it's not a proper commitment. This shita is based on Rav Yossi. Now, as Rashi explains, there's a general machlokes between Rav Meir, who says that when a person makes a self-contradictory statement, Rav Meir says, we follow the first part of the statement. Rav Yossi says, no, if this is what you had in mind, then we have to take everything into account. So let's say he says, Harela mincha min ha-so'irim. According to Rabbi Yossi, if this is what he had in mind to begin with, you have to take everything seriously. But Rabbi Yossi says, look, what was his true intention? To bring a carbon, not to bring a mincha. We look beyond the surface, beyond the literal wording of his expression. Ein adam mitzi dvar levatala. A person doesn't just express words for naught. He had something in mind. He wanted to express goodwill to Hashem, to bring a carbon. So even when he expressed himself in this manner, which technically doesn't really have any validity, Harei la mincha min asoirim, we still accept it somewhat. We say, bring a mincha min achita. So Pshimon, who says that his fellow's potter, b'shitas Rabbi Yossi amra, he's following Rabbi Yossi, the amar af b'gumar dvorav adam nitvas. A person is committed to everything that he said, even the last portion of his statement, which perhaps contradicts the first portion of his statement. And that's what Rav Shimon says, well, you added something illegal, min ha-so'er, then there's no commitment. So that's Pshat Rav Shimon. Now, the kasha is like this. Should we not assume if Rav Shimon follows Rav Yossi, then Rav Yossi follows Rav Shimon? My love, but Rav Shimon follows Rav Yossi, just as Rav Shimon holds Rav Yossi, as I just explained. Likewise, Rabbi Yossi's Nami Savalok Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi follows Rabbi Shimon as well. They're both in line with each other. And if a person does something which doesn't have, expresses himself in a manner which doesn't have validity, it doesn't work. Now, if Rabbi Yossi holds that way, then why would it be a concern with Toidus Yishroimi? You see this, Gedim Mikulas, Pesach at night, it resembles a current Pesach. Perhaps this fellow was Maglishit. But when he was Maglishit, what do you have in mind? He stipulates, I'm taking outside Yerushalayim. That's like saying, I'm bringing a mincha, min ha-so'irim. It doesn't work. So everybody knows it's not a carbon. There's no room for confusion here. Says the Gemara Loi, not necessarily so. You're relating, you're depending of Shimon with Rabbi Yossi, both ways. No, Loi, Rabbi Shimon is subject to Rabbi Yossi. It's true, Rabbi Shimon has to follow Rabbi Yossi. that we take everything that this fellow said into account. So when he says, Harela mincha min asorim, we view the whole statement as one unit. You can't split it into two. And he says, I'm bringing a mincha min asorim, which doesn't work. So Rav Shimon certainly follows Rabbi Yosi. We take this statement in its entirety, and since it's invalid and illegal and doesn't work, he's potter. That's true. But the other way around, not necessarily. Rabbi Yosi not necessarily follows Rav Shimon, because they're really two independent points. V'loi Rabbi Yosi sol Rav Shimon, he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon, meaning Rabbi Yosi says, we take everything that a person says into account. That's true. But now what? How are we meant to apply what he said? We have two schools of thought. Rav Shimon says, he said nothing. What he said is worthless, because once you take everything into account, it's non-existent. It doesn't work. Whereas Rabbi Yosi says, one second, this fellow didn't express himself for no reason. What did he really want? What is his true kavana? To bring a carbon. So he's committed to bring a carbon. And likewise, when it comes to Agdim Mekulas, you see this goat resembling the carbon Pesach. That has to be Choshesh. He was Magdash, this thing. Perhaps with a stipulation to take it outside Yerushalayim, that's true. But no harm was caused, because we look at the intent. What did he really want to do? He wanted to bring a carbon, right? So this thing becomes a carbon. So getting back to the story with Toides Yishroimi, it works better if it's Rabbi Yosi, because then there's a concern, this thing is really a carbon. But if it's Rabbi Shimon, then he invalidates the Hegdish. If he intended on taking it outside Yerushalayim, if that was his stipulation, then it's not a Hegdish. So seeing this Gdi Mekulas outside Yerushalayim wouldn't pose any concern, wouldn't arouse any chashad that it was a carbon. This was Rav Sheshes challenging the Girsa that it was Rav Shimon presenting the concern. According to him, there's no concern. It's only according to Rabbi Yosi that there could be a concern. Iboilu, getting back to Toides Yishroimi, what is the definition of the word ish? For good or for bad? Toides Yishroimi, Gav Rabba, he was a great man, Talmud Chacham, Gav Rabba Havu, Ibal Groifen Havu. Perhaps he was a violent fellow, an intimidating fellow. Ish can go either way. I once heard from Yisrael Belsky Shita, it says in the Megillah, by Haman, Ish, right? Ish Tsar V'Oyev Haman Arazeh. We find the same title given to Mordechai. How could that be? Ish Yehudi Hayush Shabira. Which way is it? Is it good or bad? So he said Ish denotes maximization, reaching potential, full potential. It can go either way. A Rasha in his wickedness, Ish Tsar V'Oyev Haman Arazeh, and a Tzadik, which is righteousness. Ish Yehudi Hayush Shabira. So everybody reaches there. Their full potential, one way or the other. So Toides Yishroimi, which way was it? For good or for bad? Toshma, let's bring a right. Oid zutarash Toides Yishroimi. So Toides, dashin as follows. Maro, Hanani Mishol Vazari. Shemosru Atzman Akdush Hashem, the Kishanesh. What was the basis of Hanani Mishol Vazari giving themselves over, submitting themselves to Kiddush Hashem, be thrown into the fiery kibshon, in order to avoid bowing to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar? What was the basis of their mesiras nefesh? Now, Toides asks the obvious kasha, what do you mean? It's about the zara. Meant to be mesiras nefesh. So he says, actually, it's Rabbeinu Tam, actually, this tzelem was not about the zara, it was just a likeness of Nebuchadnezzar himself, and it was meant to accord him honor. And they held that it was an affront to Hashem. So technically, they didn't have to be mesiras nefesh. It wasn't about the zara. Re says they had a way to escape. They could have ran away before they were being forced. So, either way, what was the point? What motivated them to be Maisa Nefesh? So, Toides Yishroimi explained like this. They applied a Kalvachemer from frogs. Nosu Kalvachemer ba'asma mitzvardim. They applied a Kalvachemer from the Tzvardim in Mitzrayim. Uma Tzvardim she'e mitzuvan al Kedushas Hashem. Since we find that Tzvardim, although they don't have a mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, they were Maisa Nefesh. Ksibu ubo v'ol v'secha v'goyim v'adarecha v'sharisecha. Moshe Rabbeinu warned Paray, if you don't listen, the Tzfadim will come up from the Nilus into your homes, your ovens, and your foods. The pasuk lists misharisecha, foods, doughs, next to the ovens. Now, when are misharis, items of food, let's say doughs, found in their ovens? When the oven's hot. Emosai misharis metzuyis esil tanur. Hava oimer, b'shosh ha-tanur cham. Apparently, they were going to jump into the ovens, emosai nefesh, to fulfill the word of Hashem. Onu, us, we, Hanadiah, b'shosh ha-zariah, shemetzuvan al-kish Hashem. We have a mitzvah. We're commanded to Mekadosh Hashem. Achas kam v'kama certainly. We're meant to give ourselves over to Mekadosh Hashem. So we see that Toidus Yishroim was a great man. He was Talmud Chacham who darshed in drashes. Rabbi Yosef bar Abban Amar, he was involved in the following great mitzvah. Matil malai lekis shal Talmid Chacham haya. He would supply capital, money to Talmid Chachamim they can earn some profit from it. So he supported them financially. Dovar b'yechon, kolamata maloi, lekis tamid chacham, the person engaged in this mitzvah, supporting Torah, zoyche v'yoyshev b'yeshiva shomalo. Even if he himself is not befitting of the yeshiva shomalo. He's not a great Talmud Chacham, but due to his support of Torah, he gets the koyach, the schus, the chacham of Torah. Shenama b'kibitzel ha-chacham, b'kibitzel ha-kesef. One who is Betzel HaKesef, who supports Tamid HaChacham, will reside Betzel HaChacham, the shadow of the Chacham, of the Chacham, the Yeshiva Shomal. Continues the Mishnah with another example of Minhag HaMokom. This is in reference to having a candle lit in one's bedroom on Yom Kippur evening. And the point was to prevent coming to Tashmish Shamit. So there's a Minhag either way. Mokom Shenagu Lahadlik Esaner B'Leil Yom Kippurim Madlik in a place where they had a minhag to have a nair lit in the bedroom on Yom Kippur night, then follow that minhag and be madlik. Malkav shenagu shloi lahadlik, a madlik, a place where they would refrain from having a candle lit, then you follow the local minhag, and both really were trying to achieve the same goal, as the Gemara Rashi will explain. This only pertains to the bedroom, but otherwise, you're meant to have a nair lit in Kippur for the covet of Yom Tov. Umadlikim batikinasiyas, batimidrashis, bumvois ha'afelim, dark alleyways, halgabe choylim, near sick people. Tana, bein sh'amu lahadlik, u bein sh'amu shloi lahadlik, both schools of thought. Those who said bimadlik the nair, in one's bedroom on Kippur evening, and also those who said refrain from being madlik, shnein lever echad eskavim, they both had the same thing in mind, to achieve the same goal, albeit through different methods. Let's take a look at Rashi explains this. We have the wide lines in Rashi, so it's the third wide line. Gemara. Beish omu lahadik. Oysen shenagu lahadik. And also, vanoigin shloi lahadik. Leneskavna l'dover echot. That one thing in mind, to achieve the same result. Lafresh atzmoy, mishkevish. How's that? Ha'inrim lahadik. How's a candle achieve that? Mishum de'ein oda mishamash mitosik l'araner. It's inappropriate to do it in light. Therefore, that would prevent tashmish. V'aymer shloi lahadik. They held the other way. Soivrim. They figured shaner doilik. If you have light, royas ishtim misavlo. Signing his wife can create a desire. This way, keep it dark and avoid pitfall. So both aiming for the same result, using different methods. You know, Shraga 5 of Mendelis used to say, "Eitzachaim b'seich hagan." Why was Eitzachaim found in the middle of Gan Eden? So you can get there from all directions. Try to achieve the same result, but everybody has their own method of getting there. Omar b'shur, continues the Gemara, Omar b'shur. Dorash rab, v'amich kulam tzadikim, loyal mishu'aretz. So the entire Klal Yisrael, kulam tzadikim, bein sh'omer lahadlik, bein sh'omer shloy lahadlik, shneim le'eskavnu el dover echad. They both had the same thing in mind, to achieve the same goal and result, using different methods. Once we're on the topic of the candle on Yom Kippur, they will proceed discussing the bracha on a flame on Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Kippur. Amar Bida Mashmo, Eim Avarchan Al Or, Ella Motzei Shabbos. We only make a bracha on a flame during Havdalah Motzei Shabbos. Why? Hoyu Tchilas Briyasayu. At that point, fire was created. Medrash says Adam Rishon saw that it's beginning to darken, and he was fearful. Perhaps the world's coming to an end as a result of his Avera. Until Hashem provided him with the rocks and he and he scraped them against each other and created fire. So Matzah Shabbos was the point in time when fire was created, and that's when we make a bracha by Remei Ra'esh to thank Hashem. It's a brachas Hashvach on account of the creation of fire. So only on Matzah Shabbos, because that was the time of the Bria. But not any other time, like Matzah Yom Kippur, because that wasn't a time of Bria Asayish. Amar Lehu Saba. So this elder responded to him in approval. V'itema Rabba Bar Rachana. Some say it was Rabba Bar Rachana. Yesha. Right on. This is correct. You only make a bracha on the or on Matzah Shabbos, not on Matzah Yom Kippur. V'chein Amar Biechan. In fact, Biechan said the same. And this is more of the story, which will actually reinterpret this whole discussion. Meaning, at this point, the more figures are Biochan subscribe to the Shita that you only make the bracha on the Ur on Matzah Shabbos, but not on Matzah Yom Kippur. The more later will revert. No, even on Matzah Yom Kippur, you'll make a bracha. True, it's not the time of the Bria of Eish, but there is some newness there. The Eish is providing a new function which wasn't there throughout Yom Kippur. You couldn't use a flame on Yom Kippur. You can use it for Malacha. So there is some freshness, some newness there, which requires a bracha, brichas hashvach. That's coming up in the Gemara. So Gemara says it was a story. Ula have a rach of chamra va'azel. Ula was riding on a camel, going along. Baba kashakel va'azel Rab Abba miminei. And to his right was Rab Abba. V'rava brachana mismol. And to his left was Rab Abraham. Amar le Rabbi Abba Ula. Rab Abba turned to Ula. V'adai damrisu mishmei Rabbi Yechon. Is that so? What you say over, what you quote Rabbi Yochanan, to the fact that Ein Mevarchen al Ur el Matzah Shabbos, that a bracha on fire is only recited on Matzah Shabbos, because that's the time when it was created, but not on Matzah Yom Kippur. Is that correct? This quote, that you relate the name of Rabbi Yochanan, is that true? Now Ula listened to this question, and he figured that this information must have been garnered from Rabbi Bar Chana, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan to this effect, and he knew it to be incorrect. So he was surprised and disappointed. Hadar Allah, Hadar Ula. So Ula turned around to his left to Rabbi Bar Chana. He didn't say anything, but he expressed disappointment. Chazabei, he expressed in his facial expression, Rabbi Bar Chana bishus, expressed disappointment. He misquoted Rabbi Yochanan. He didn't say anything, but he expressed it with a facial expression. Now Rabbi Bar Chana picked up the cue and immediately corrected things. He says, no, it's incorrect. It's a misinterpretation. I never said that. I didn't quote Rabbi Yochanan in that context with regards to the bracha on Matzah Yom Kippur. Of course Rabbi Yochanan holds you make a bracha on fire Matzah Yom Kippur. I was referring to a different concept. I was quoting him in a different realm. Amar Lei. So Rabbi responded, Ano lav aha amri. I didn't quote Rabbi Yochanan in this context. Elaha Amri, rather in a different context. The Tani Tanakh made Rabbi Yochanan. There was an Amir who presented this following Bryce from Rabbi Yochanan as follows. Hashem Allah Zoymer. Yom Kippur Meshachol Liyaz B'Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Af Makom She'amru Shlo Lahadlik. Even in those towns where generally Yom Kippur they don't have a candle. Madlikin B'Pnei Kavod HaShabbos. But even there they light on account of Kavod Shabbos. They made that exception. V'oni Rabbi Yechim Asrei. Now Rabbi Yechim responded to this Talmud who presented the Shita. No, the Chacham Oisrim, Chacham don't allow. Even Shabbos Yom Kippur don't have an air. So Rabbi Bar Chana said, this is how I quoted Rabbi Yechim. It has nothing to do with Matzah Shabbos and Matzah Yom Kippur. I related this halacha that Rabbi Yechim says on Yom Kippur, which happens to fall on Shabbos, there's no air. But of course, on Matzah Yom Kippur, you make a bracha on there. So all this he related back to Ula. Amar Lei, Ula responded, oh, Adote, hey, yeah, this should stand. This makes sense. This is true. I stand corrected. Currently, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef heard about the story, how Ula turned to Rabbi Bar Chana. He merely expresses his disappointment, but didn't verbalize it. And Rabbi Bar Chana picked up the message and clarified things. Correlate Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef applied this pasuk on this incident, on these amoraim. Mayim amukim eitza belevish, just like deep water, the eitza in the heart of a person, unexpressed, remain in remaining in his heart, vishtvuni yidlana, a smart person will draw it out. How does that relate to here? Mayim amukim eitzah b'levish, the eitzah which was embedded in the heart, ze'ula, who had something there but he didn't express it. Vishtvuni yidlana, the ishtvuna drew it out, ze'rava b'machana, was able to draw it out and then clarify things. V'inu k'man savru, sounds like Ma'ula and Rabba, who didn't want to agree to this statement presented by Rabbi Abba, that supposedly you don't make a bracha on a fire on Matzah and Kippur. They didn't agree with that. V'inu k'man savru, who were they following? They held that you do make a bracha on Matzah and Kippur. In accordance with Hushita, ki adam Rabbi Yamin ben Yefes, Rabbi Yechon, mevarach na'lor, be'im matzah Shabbos, be'matzah yom Kippurim. In both cases, you make a bracha. And likewise, the Amma, the nation, Devar follows. That's the Minhag HaMakom. That's the Minhag HaYisrael. You make bracha on Matzah Yom Kippur as well. Because there is some new element here. You couldn't use it the entire Yom Kippur, and now you could use it. That deserves a bracha. Meisei v'avakash v'am b'raisa. Eim nevochan al-or el moitzei Shabbos. It's only Matzah Shabbos to make the bracha. Hoyot chilis b'yosayu. Because that's the point of creation. That's number one. And number two, when do we make the bracha? As soon as you see the flame, right away make a bracha. You don't wait until you go do Abdul. You arrange all the brachas, the fire and the psalmim, together with the kais when you make Abdul. V'amar b'yechanan, halach Rabbi Yehuda. Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Brisa spoke about only making the bracha on Matzah Shabbos. So we see Rabbi Yechon holds only Matzah Shabbos is the time for a bracha on the Ur. Like Kash, the answer is depends what type of flame. Kan Ba'ur Shesh Shabbos. You have a flame which was around him on throughout Yom Kippur and wasn't used for Malacha. It was Shabbos arrested for Malacha. In which case, there's something new here. There's a freshness here. Matzah Yom Kippur. Ah, you can finally use the flame. That requires a bracha. Kan bur hayotze v'nei etzim na'avonim. When the Brisa says you only make it on Matzah Shabbos, it's bringing out a fresh new fire extracted from the etzim, wood and stones. That fire is brand new. And it would only require bracha Matzah Shabbos since it's the time of creation of fire. But this type of flame would not garner a bracha Matzah Yom Kippur. Because since it wasn't something which is Shabbos, it wasn't something around throughout Yom Kippur, which you have to refrain from. It doesn't have that freshness, doesn't have that appreciation. Ah, I can finally use it. It's just a brand new flame. So that only applies to Matzah Shabbos and Yom Kippur. But a Ershish Shabbos, that, you'll make a bracha even on Matzah Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara. Tani Chad, we learned in one brisa. Ur ha-yoytze, min ha-itzim, min ha-vanim, min ha-barachon olav. This brand new fire, you make a bracha. Tani Chad, we have another brisa, which says, eid min ha-barachon olav, you don't make a bracha. Like Kasha, answer is, depends when. Kan Motzei Shabbos. On Motzei Shabbos, you make a bracha, even on a new flame. Kan Motzei Yom Kippurim, where you only make a bracha on a flame, which was around throughout Yom Kippur. Rebbe Mefazran, generally when it came to making these brachas, a fire, on psalmim, on Motzei Shabbos, and Motzei Yom Kippur, Rebbe Mefazran, he would disperse them. As soon as he sees a fire, makes a bracha. As soon as he gets psalmim, makes a bracha. He wouldn't necessarily arrange them together with the Berachas Abdullah with the Kais. Rabbi Chiya Machanson, he would bundle them together and arrange them together with the Abdullah. Amar Bisra Aradimi, Afal Pisha Rebbe Mefazra. Even though Rebbe would disperse them, make a bracha as soon as he sees a flame, etc., Choyze Vesojan al Kais, he would then come around and rearrange them together with the Kais, make the brachas again together with the Abdullah, Kadei Lahoitzi Bonav. Not to be mighty, his family. Let's make a quick chazar of today's daf. We began discussing the halachas of beer. On the seventh year, you can go ahead and eat that produce as long as there's some available out there. The Gemara gave us several guidelines. We look at those late towns, or it's based on a firm timetable. We learned that Bikurim is brought from the Shivas Haminim, and only the high quality produce. The Mishnah brought us 2 minute. Hamokayim, we have the refraining from selling behemah daka to the goy, and we discussed refraining from eating basa tzoli leile Pesach. The Gemara says a person cannot point a piece of meat and say basa zu le Pesach, who perhaps creates the impression that it's a carbon being eaten outside Yerushalayim. But when it comes to chitim, there's no concern because he's simply trying to safeguard it for the Pesach consumption. We learned that Toidus Yishroimi, which ended up being a Gavar Rabba, he allowed his townsfolk to eat the Gdi Mekulas, the Chacham were concerned that it might appear like a carbon Pesach. We had the Mishnah with two Minhagim. Do you have a flame on in Kippur evening or not? We learned that on Matzah Shabbos, you make a bracha, even on a new flame, because that was a time of the Bria, of fire. Whereas Yom Kippur, you only make on a Ner Shabbos, this flame that was around throughout Yom Kippur and couldn't be used for Malacha. So now you have that Chiddush, using it for Malacha, you make a bracha on that. According to one Shita, the brachas are dispersed, not necessarily together with the bracha of Avdol on the Kois. According to the other Shita, you put it together, and even the one who was Mefazer came back and did it together in order to be Maitzi, the members of his household. Be well at Slacha Rabba.